the core team have destroyed their reputation and certainly a lot of their trust amongst the community.
I'm not surprised at all, though, that they're trying to join forces, because the only way that you can meaningfully impact Bitcoin long term is if every sovereign nation agrees to ban it or to prohibit it or whatever, and they scare enough people.
Why is Bitcoin different and why can it not be regulated? In my opinion, it completely comes down to the one word: decentralization.
Brace yourself. There is no fixing this. You have to end it. And, you know, doing this calmly over a cup of coffee or a nice dinner is not the way I see this unfolding. At some point, something's going to turn violent.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Tony is back and we've got Adam Semeca. Gents, let's jump right into the news. So up first, we have what looks to be something of a backtracking or a form of appeasement coming from Bitcoin Core. So Schmitty, it's a long tweet, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he is opening a pull request to Bitcoin Core to remove the deprecation for the data carrier and data carrier size options. He goes into detail about why he thinks this is the right move. Got a lot of pushback from even the Knots folks who think that this is just an olive branch and nothing significant. But Adam, I'm going to let you kick this off. Imagine you've at least seen this, maybe looked into it a little bit. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first off, this may be a little bit more technically advanced than I am qualified to opine on, but there are certainly, I think, a lot more fundamental reasons or ways to look at this, perspectives. And I'll just say it this way. Just before this even came out, before the debate between Core and Knots, I think my opinion is and always has been not enough people are educated enough. And to put it even more simply, I would say, not enough people have read Gigi, especially his 21 lessons in Bitcoin. I don't know if you all are familiar with 21 lessons, but a very well thought out collection of pieces that really kind of defines what makes Bitcoin so special. And as the title may suggest, there are 21 separate lessons about Bitcoin that he goes into. But lesson 18 is, I think, what is most pertinent here. And it's called Move Slowly and Don't Break Things. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read just a short section for anybody that's not familiar. So before we had Michael Saylor, we had Gigi, sometime between Satoshi and Saylor, just to kind of put things in the timeline. Gigi says here that, let's see here. Let me start in the right place. The nature of Bitcoin, this is Satoshi Nakamoto's quote here. The nature of Bitcoin is such that once version 0.1 was released, the core design was set in stone for the rest of its lifetime. Then Gigi goes on to say, this is one of the many paradoxical properties of Bitcoin. We all came to believe that anything which is software can be changed easily, but the nature of the beast makes changing it bloody hard. As Hasu beautifully shows in Unpacking Bitcoin Social Contract, changing the rules of Bitcoin is only possible by proposing a change and consequently convincing all users to adopt this change. This makes Bitcoin very resilient to change, even though it is software. This resilience is one of the most important properties of Bitcoin. Critical software systems have to be anti-fragile, which is what makes the interplay of Bitcoin's social layer and its technical layers guarantees. Monetary systems are adversarial by nature, and as we all have known for thousands of years, solid foundations are essential in an adversarial environment. The rain came down, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Matthew 7:25. And so this is just a short section of what I think is a really good way to look at all of this. It goes back to the trope, you know, move slowly, don't break things, which is kind of contrary to what we see in a lot of the tech world. And I see kind of both sides doing this, actually. So I've got a little bit of a nuanced take on this as well, between Core and Knots. I'm not super diehard in either direction. I think it's a false dichotomy. I think there is certainly a bigger conversation to be had, but I am definitely an advocate of moving slow and not breaking things and changing things only when it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I agree. And for anyone looking for context as to what this means, based on my understanding and research, again, not the most technically sophisticated, but what Core was doing in version 30 is they're saying not only is the op return limit effectively becoming unlimited, but you don't have the ability to configure that back to where you want it. He's proposing removing that, not changing the default op return limit. And so by default, you would still be relaying op return, you know, large op returns, and the limit would be very, very high, effectively removed. Tony, do you have any comment? Do you view this as just Core trying to appease this, you know, new, very energetic Knots crowd, or do you think this is good faith where he realizes maybe a mistake was made and he's finding a middle ground? What do you think?
Man, it's really hard to say. I mean, on the surface, I think this is some sort of like bullshit move from them just to like, okay, give them something so they can stop harping. But for me, what's abundantly clear is that the Core team have destroyed their reputation and certainly a lot of their trust amongst the community. Their attitude towards this has been a complete failure since the moment this whole thing broke out. They seem to have taken the position as, you know, the gatekeepers to this, and, you know, it's either their way or the highway, and anyone that doesn't agree with them is just a moron. But, you know, in fact, what happened is that the free market, you know, pushed back and pushed back really hard, and the numbers speak for themselves. Again, this goes back to what I was saying, you know, previously. Bitcoin is an opportunity that the world has never seen. We are literally holding the tools that will ensure the separation of money and state to push the world forward into, you know, into something we've never known before, into a world that'll upgrade, you know, almost every aspect of human life. And every living soul who believes in that or who wants that for themselves should be united in a way, you know, that's never been seen before. And yet you have this nonsense unfolding, you know, in the community amongst, you know, seemingly intelligent people that are not doing that. And so I don't know, like, how you would classify that as extremely stupid or extremely selfish, but this is not a good sign. Thankfully, all this bickering doesn't kill or harm Bitcoin at any way. And there's always going to be options. For me, this was a very good wake-up call that there are more eyes on the side of protecting Bitcoin, you know, like ferociously compared to the side that are trying to disrupt it or ruin it in any way, shape, or form for whatever stupid reasons. I still think at some point we will have another option, like other than Core, Knots, and perhaps something new that comes about. Options are always good because it's only then that you keep bad actors, you know, in check. So who knows how this is going to unfold. But as far as I'm concerned, Bitcoin is money, should only be treated as money. And anyone that wants to store or play around with spam or junk, they can, you know, they can fork off or play in other, you know, shitcoin casino blockchains.
Unsurprisingly, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Tony. Alrighty, up next, so Jim Chanos, we talked about him last week on the show. So he's a Bitcoin bull and a strategy bear. He said the Bitcoin treasury theater of the absurd, and he is quote tweeting, Vivek Ramaswamy's strive to acquire Bitcoin treasury company Semler Scientific in an all-stock transaction. And an interesting note that Pledeter made was that he called out several folks involved with Semler. None of them had come out publicly, at least not on X, which is where a lot of this Bitcoin-related news happens, and explained why this was a good deal for shareholders. But effectively, a company that doesn't actually operate, you know, a business or hasn't, and is just buying Bitcoin as a strategy, has purchased a medical device or a biopharma company who has a Bitcoin treasury. To me, this is just, who cares? You know, I have no idea to what extent shareholders are being considered in this, what the impact on them is. But I think I don't even know what to say. Tony, do you have any comment on this?
Yeah, man, stay away from this dirty and disgusting world. These are like, you know, dirty people playing dirty fiat games. And unless you understand the ins and outs of this convoluted mess, it's not something, you know, you want to dabble or waste your time and energy in. The option is very simple. You buy and hold Bitcoin in self-custody. You don't have to break your head or, you know, dirty yourself playing, you know, in their world. You can ignore it completely and just move forward towards a bright orange future by simply learning a few steps. It makes absolutely no sense to buy a share of a company holding Bitcoin rather than going straight to the assets yourself. I mean, that's like completely absurd as far as I'm concerned. And anyone shilling this garbage should be ignored entirely. Bitcoin was created to replace it. It wasn't created to extend it or to, you know, integrate into this nonsense. So be very careful who you listen to out there. Anyone shilling something other than Bitcoin in self-custody is a fraud.
Adam, you have anything you'd like to add to that?
I mean, that pretty much covered it, but I'll add something on a separate note, very related though. Plediter actually posted another post similar to this, kind of on the same topic, where he just released all of the pipe investors, basically the insiders for Nakamoto, David Bailey's company, which has not been having the best returns as of late. Actually, quite catastrophically abysmal. But that's neither here nor there. The point I want to try to make is I was looking through the list of these early pipe investors, and one of the names on here is H. Eric Semler, which I thought was interesting because while he was running his own Bitcoin strategy, instead of buying his own stock, he was actually buying someone else's paper Bitcoin, which is, I don't know, seems like, you know, somewhat kind of counterintuitive. And we've got this quote unquote Bitcoin treasury theater going on, which is just a lot of stuff going on behind the curtains. But I think Tony said it best, really don't worry about this stuff. Don't mess with it. Buy Bitcoin, hold it in self-custody, and you don't have to worry about any of it.
Adam, so cynical. He was just diversifying his portfolio, I'm sure. Come on. All righty, up next, we've got tyrannical governments continue doing what they do best, tyranny. Britain and the U.S. are setting up a task force to explore cooperating on digital asset regulation, according to the Financial Times. We've got a few here in a row that we'll get into that I think expand upon this general theme. Tony, I don't think any good digital asset regulation is likely to come that grants us more and more freedom to do what we choose, but maybe I'm the cynical one here. What do you think is likely coming?
Well, I mean, they can try to regulate, you know, their shitcoin casinos. That's about as far as I think they'll get. But if they think they're going to regulate Bitcoin, then Bitcoin is already laughing because it cannot be regulated or co-opted by this. The only hope in hell they have is maybe perhaps convincing enough folks into using, you know, their version of Bitcoin, which is, you know, the stuff that is within their control still, you know, like the ETFs, the Bitcoin treasuries, you know, custodying your Bitcoin at a worthless bank, you know, that type of thing. But as far as regulating Bitcoin itself, I don't think it's going to happen. There's enough people out there that understand this and will and should ignore this entirely. When you have organized crime cooperating like this, that tells you that they are losing and are desperately seeking to find any ways to remain relevant. And the only way that I see happening is just, you know, taking advantage of mass ignorance. Except there's only so much ignorance, you know, people that have been used and abused are going to be willing to take. And at some point, all this blows up in their face.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's going to have to begin and end with the obvious low-hanging fruit that can be regulated, like the shitcoin casinos. But how many times has China now tried banning Bitcoin? Eventually, you realize that you run the risk of just looking stupid trying to ban the unbannable. And I think it's going to be, you know, we'll see what they try to do. I think to me, I'm not surprised at all, though, that they're trying to join forces, because the only way that you can meaningfully impact Bitcoin long term is if every sovereign nation agrees to ban it or to prohibit it or whatever, and they scare enough people that even though it won't kill Bitcoin, it could very much prolong the time it takes for Bitcoin to become ubiquitous and globally adopted as a form of money. So I don't think the US and the UK alone are going to have any significant influence over that. Adam, what do you think?
I like Tony's comment here that you can see. I know it's, you know, sounds cliche and maybe even been overused, but why is Bitcoin different and why can it not be regulated? In my opinion, it completely comes down to the one word, decentralization. And again, I know that word has been thrown around like it doesn't mean anything. You know, even altcoins, you know, tend to take that mantra. But the truth of the matter is Bitcoin cannot be regulated simply because, or even in Gigi's term, it's anti-fragile. It is not something, it doesn't have, let me phrase it this way. There is no issuer of Bitcoin, right? There's no central issuer. There's nobody with the hand on the red button that they can print more, they can control the supply, they can manipulate the early investors. There are no insiders necessarily to Bitcoin. There's no central point of attack or central point of failure. And that is why it can't be regulated. If you look at anything else in this ecosystem, even, you know, I'm giving them way too much credit by even throwing them in the same bucket as Bitcoin. But if you look at any other altcoins or projects, they're essentially just, you know, tech projects that have founders, they have insiders, they have marketing teams. These are all central points of failure. And any regulation is only going to hurt them because it is the regulation at that point is effective. When you try to regulate Bitcoin, it's like the Hydra. You cut off a head, two more spring up in its place. You can't stop Bitcoin. You can't kill Bitcoin. You can, I think maybe even Tony said this earlier, but you can regulate your own version of Bitcoin. But first, you know, at that point, you have to have your own version of Bitcoin. And that can be things like ETFs and stocks and, you know, all forms of paper Bitcoin, which I think is one of the reasons why owning your own keys is so important and holding your own real Bitcoin. That's something that the government cannot touch. They can touch these other financialized products, though. So that's something to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Bitcoin and self-custody only. All righty. James Melville says, Keir Starmer is reportedly about to announce universal digital ID. He says, say no to digital ID. Huge government overreach and infringement of civil liberties and freedoms. No one voted for this. Tony, this is something we've sort of talked about, or at least adjacent topics. What do you envision a digital ID might entail in the UK or really anywhere? Because I think we're going to see more of that.
Well, if you want to see them, then they fight you stage. I think we're starting to see it in full force now. Digital ID is, that's it, man. It's like the final nail in your complete enslavement. It is the ID that, you know, controls every aspect of your life, primarily it being your money. And once that's in the control of a bunch of psychopaths, then you're literally a puppet that's asking for permission for literally everything about you. What you eat, where you go, how much you can spend, what you can spend on, how often you can do that, who you can see, where you can, you know, anything about your life will be controlled by a bunch of people who believe they have the right to play God. This thing should be ignored 1,000% by every living soul that has any value for their life. Unless you're happy living a life of a donkey, no one should be adopting this. And they are trying to push this full force because they are desperate and they are scared of losing their power over, you know, everything that they've had their grip on for so long. There are options now that are completely destroying these people's relevancy. And the one at the top of the list is Bitcoin, because without the control of the money, you can't control anything. Everybody regains their free will, their ability to think for themselves, to go where they want, and to do whatever the hell that's on their mind, as long as they're not breaking any legitimate rules. These peoples are organized crime. They are not figures of authority. They should not be respected. The fact that they're still in power making these stupid decisions and turning everybody's life into a living nightmare is beyond mind-boggling. Where are the days in the past, you know, in the past centuries, where we'd see people hanging by light posts and guillotines? Why aren't these brought back into today's world, and where all these people are held accountable for their actions? Why are people simply dodging this complete attack on humanity rather than, you know, taking the fight back and pushing back for their rights to live as free and dignified human beings? This is what I find completely appalling. All we hear are complaints. No one's really taking measures to put an end to these attacks, and they're going to continue to escalate until that day happens. So brace yourself. There is no fixing this. You have to end it. And, you know, doing this calmly over a cup of coffee or a nice dinner is not the way I see this unfolding. At some point, something's going to turn violent. So the world has to decide on, you know, which side of history it wants to stay on. You want to keep taking the hits, hoping, you know, you'd survive it somehow, or do you want to put an end to the source, you know, shooting at you? Pick.
Well said. Adam, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, digital ID kind of goes hand in hand with CBDCs, and that's really the final boss. Like Tony said, once we get to that point, I mean, it's pretty much game over for a lot of areas of our lives. And I actually did a presentation just a couple of weeks ago here at the Kansas City Bitcoin Summit, where my presentation was specifically focused on combating this type of a thing. And my position and my belief is that using Bitcoin as a self-custodial medium of exchange is the only solution to defend against a CBDC and digital ID. Because once these two things roll out, you get social credit. And like Tony said, you make a bad post on X, and then they're coming after you and they're regulating what you can do and buy and how you live. And we already see this in other parts of the world. And we've even had tastes of it in the West. And you look at examples like Canada with the trucker protest and things like that, where the government's literally reaching into your bank accounts and stealing your money because of who you're supporting, right? I mean, we had people just simply supporting the Canadian truckers, and they were losing access to all of their money. And so it's not so far away. And in fact, my argument is it is coming. It's coming everywhere eventually. And the only difference is going to be how far along we are on this journey of incorporating Bitcoin into our everyday lives so that we can have these parallel economies and we don't have to participate in this system.
Well said. Okay, let's just touch on this one very, very quickly if you have any follow-up comments. Larry Ellison predicts the rise of modern surveillance state where citizens will be on their best behavior. I think this goes hand in hand with what we were just discussing. That is my concern, is that best behavior is going to be best behavior as defined by the state and not based on free will and the opportunity to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Do you guys have any follow-up comments, or should we just roll on to the next one?
Listen, these things only affect those who allow it to affect them. There are options to ignore it completely. You just have to take them. So as I've said many times in the past, if you say nothing or don't resist or push back, then you lose the right to complain about everything bad that is going to be coming your way. It's as simple as that. You don't need to look to your next door neighbor for approval to push back against this. You just have to decide, are you a dignified human being that's, you know, that wants to live free and on their own terms, or are you a fucking donkey that wants to take, you know, their permission slip from a bunch of psychopaths that have very bad intentions towards you? The answer is very simple as far as I'm concerned, but seemingly there's a lot of people that cannot put one and one together and, you know, take back control of their time and energy. So for those people, like I said, keep quiet or open your mouth and push back. Actions speak louder than words. There are solutions you can take. If you don't take them, that's on you.
Adam, I'm not even going to let you respond to that. I think Tony said it all. Okay, up next, we have, so Whale Panda said, this last week we had almost $900 million of net inflows from ETFs. Saylor bought more. And Bitcoin is flat on the weekly with a rate cut and all other assets. Stock indexes, gold, et cetera, closing a very green week. Almost seems like there are more than 21 million Bitcoin in circulation. And the Bitcoin therapist says the math doesn't even remotely make sense. So I do not care. I don't really check the price. I see it, but I'm not like following it. It's, you know, it's coming. Adam, do you think, is your sense that at some point we're going to add up all the Bitcoin denominated assets on the ledgers at these treasury companies at Coinbase and realize, oh, wow, there are 40 million Bitcoin or something to that effect?
Yeah, I think we've far passed that. I think, you know, a long time ago, you know, the number of claims to Bitcoin far exceeded 21 million whole coins. But, you know, a lot of this is due to, you know, mostly, you know, sketchy exchanges and stuff like that. I'm not saying that everyone, you know, in the paper Bitcoin space is above board. And I'm not even claiming that I know for certain that the top, you know, publicly traded companies are either. But that's why it just goes to show how important it is to hold your own keys, because the only way to you can't necessarily verify, you know, paper Bitcoin is real. There's no way to actually prove that. You can only prove that Bitcoin is real by actually verifying it on the chain. So the best way to do that is to take your own custody, get the Bitcoin off of the exchange. Don't keep it in a custodial wallet. Keep it in your own possession. And that's ultimately, you know, how we ensure that the supply and demand matches reality.
A Bitcoin bank run is the ugliest kind of bank run because you can't print more of it to make people whole and just face inflation down the road. You can't kick the can. Tony, what do you think? I imagine you suspect there's a lot of actual paper Bitcoin out there that exceeds the 21 million hard cap.
Well, I know we live in a dirty fiat world and we're still not completely out of it. So, you know, it's very hard to calculate and investigate these type of things. But if you wanted to know, you know, how much is out there, it would be very simple. As long as enough people withdraw all their Bitcoin into self-custody, you know, and then everything else will just collapse. That's fake. The sad truth about this is that there's a lot of people that do sell Bitcoin for whatever reasons. Just because somebody started, you know, early on in Bitcoin doesn't mean they automatically, you know, represent sovereignty and their pro-freedom and all of that. They just happen to understand it early on and are now just funding their lives to live comfortably. So whether they're of a certain age and they just are just tired of hodling, and whatever the reason may be, you know, there are a lot of people selling their Bitcoin. The difference is at some point, you know, that entire ocean of things that you can, you know, describe in as many ways as you want is going to go away. And then the Bitcoin is going to find its way into the hands of true sovereign individuals. And when that day comes, like all this volatility and all these stupid games, you know, will subside very, very quickly. We're already headed towards this. You see it, you know, more and more these days, like people selling big amounts of Bitcoin, but the market absorbing it very fast. So how long that takes, who knows, but it really doesn't matter. Like you guys nailed it. Focus on yourself, you know, opt out, you know, upgrade your money from shit money to actual money. Learn how to hold it in self-custody. Forget that the fiat world exists. Only use it when you absolutely need to. Beyond that, just ignore it entirely. That entire system is collapsing. And the more entrenched you still are in it, the more damage and harm you're going to be doing to yourself eventually. So simple solutions. Opt out, never look back. Millions of folks are already doing this. And believe me, none of them are complaining.
Let's see what Satoshi says. He says, the central bank must be trusted not to debase the currency, but the history of fiat currencies is full of breaches of that trust.
Spot on. All righty, guys, last one just for kicks. We've got a Michigan anti-porn law would also block VPNs. It's funny how they always manage to slip in these additional clauses and requirements for people. I think people watching less porn is an awesome idea. I don't think that legislating morality ever works. And there's always an unintended consequence or a designed negative externality for people who are just trying to protect their privacy. Tony, I'd love to hear what you have to say about this one.
Man, if you think this has anything to do with porn, you're freaking delusional. This is all about, you know, blocking the exits, you know, whether it's blocking the exits with Bitcoin, whether it's blocking the exits, the freedom of speech, of, you know, locking or removing privacy. These are all the attacks. And then they fight you stage. You see, it's coming in from all directions. First of all, on a technical level, trying to ban or block VPNs is ludicrous because it's never going to happen and it's going to be impossible to implement. And that's just assuming that every company out there is simply going to say, oh, okay, sure, we'll do it. You can't stop this. This is like, it's like peer-to-peer technology. At some point, you know, like you block one end, but you give rise and motivation to an entire world of decentralized peer-to-peer connections, which is exactly what is already starting to to show up here. One thing I would have to mention though about VPNs is that be very careful which ones you pick. Not all of them are good. In fact, many of them are owned by surveillance company and are being marketed, you know, as, you know, like the safe choice. Come here, pay a little amount per month, and so to speak, be private. Whereas everything that you do on these systems are, you know, completely logged and surveilled. The good VPNs, you have to do your homework. Open source only, you know, make sure you can verifiably prove that there are no logs about this. So this is a deep rabbit hole. But again, on the surface, all of these attacks against human beings by organized crime, because that's the only way you can describe this, are going to intensify. But the good news is you don't need to be scared, because there are more tools out there that you can opt into and just simply learn how to use that will bring you peace of mind at the end of the day. This only scares the ignorant.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. The caveat being that not all VPNs or not all security tools are created equally. Adam, you want to piggyback off of that?
Yeah, I would say banning VPNs is probably about as futile as trying to ban Bitcoin, not to mention completely unconstitutional. So at least we have some semblance of respect for that in the United States sometimes. Yeah, and I'll say, you know, if we get the Streisand effect here, I think that would only help our case, you know. Start banning VPNs, everybody's going to flock to them and seek privacy. Everybody desires privacy. By the way, I'm not, you know, trying to shill anything. I'm not sponsored or anything, but I use Proton VPN. They are a Bitcoin company. I don't know much about the company themselves or the technology, but I, you know, I can respect the fact that they also build Bitcoin tools too. So if you need a VPN, Proton offers a free one that I use all the time, and I think it's great.
Perfect. And of course, if you followed the Bitcoin way for any period of time, you know that we can help you get set up. Open source VPNs, modern DNS, AI threat detection, all sorts of stuff. Adam, why don't you give everyone a handoff, tell them where to find you, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I'm at Adam Semeca. I'm mostly on X, so you can search me there on X, at Adam Semeca, and follow my antics over there if you want.
Perfect. Stick around for another minute to learn more about the Bitcoin way. We'd love to chat with you. Gents, great having you back, Adam. Congrats on the baby. Tony, good seeing you. Good having you back on the show this week. I know you had a busy week last week, so always good to talk.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.